Now we're going to change pace a little bit on Community Connections, and we're going to be talking to a Rotarian. It's a Rotarian, Brian Negus. I've lost my thought here for a minute. I've got to get back on track. And Brian's been a Rotarian for around 40 years, so he knows what he's talking about, Rotary, and everybody knows that I think Rotary is a great organisation, as so is Lions, because we're on their property here. But all these groups do a lot of great work. But in this case, the Manningham Club of Rotary and also the City of Manningham have got together, and they're organising an expo on this Sunday about electrical vehicles. Now, there's a lot of misinformation. If you love them, you love them, and the ones that hate them, hate them, and the ones that put out a lot of myths and all that. So I guess, Brian, first of all, welcome to the show.
Alan, thanks very much, and it's great to represent Manningham, Rotary, Manningham City, and indeed the City of Manningham, which is a bit of a mix there. We actually changed our name. Templestowe and Manningham and Doncaster, in fact, all joined together to become Manningham City in the City of Manningham.
Sounds good to me. But it's coming up this Sunday, and it's between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Brian, tell us a bit about how you came up with the idea. Like, somebody had to sit down and say, I think we need to do this. How did you come up with the idea, and what's the prime motive behind having the Sunday?
Thanks, Alan. And I should have said to start with, thanks for having me on to do a promo on
Happy
Sunday.
Happy to do that. Happy to do that.
That'd be fantastic. I guess it's got a couple of issues that go into the background. From my personal point of view, I was in Vic Roads and did the Country Roadswood before that for a lot of years. And was heavily involved in technology with project managing Melbourne's traffic signal system, computerised traffic signal system, back a ways in the 80s.
So every time we get stuck in a red light, it's your problem.
Well, not mine now. In fact, I get stuck in Vic Roads all the time because of what's not happening, mate. but more recently, I joined RACV as a general manager of public policy, and got heavily involved in vehicles, in road safety, and in technology and the environment. And also, I joined at the same time the board of Intelligent Transport Systems Australia, and I was president for 6 years of that.
That's a big note.
It is rather, yes, but it's about smart technology stuff that improves mobility, environment, and road safety.
Yep.
And so from that background, I'm heavily into how does technology improve road safety and the environment and the way in which we travel around. Also, one of my colleagues, David Rosenwax, in our club, he was formerly Doncaster and Manningham, and he's got an electric car, and he's a bit passionate. He's very, very passionate about electric vehicles. So he and I came together and decided we should run an electric vehicle gig. We did back in 2022, so 2 years ago. And the industry's moved on a lot since then. But reality is that the carbon emissions that we actually create, 20% of those are from the transport sector.
Yep.
So a lot of benefit can be gained by going to higher tech, by actually having more fuel-efficient vehicles, and the federal government's now brought in rules for that, finally, after a couple of decades of not having any rules, reduce emissions. And secondly, electric vehicles can reduce our footprint massively. And so that was the instigation for really coming together and going to the community, because there is a lot of misinformation out there and sort of popular myths which we want to try and help the community solve. And that's the idea of having the exhibition plus expert seminars.
So, I mean, one of the great things, and this is one of the reasons why I really wanted to talk to you, it's not just a few people that maybe Rotarians, maybe not, that are just going to get up and give their views on electric cars. I mean, you've really put together a group of people who know what they're talking about, haven't you?
Indeed. In fact, I'm the only Rotarian because I'm emceeing the gig.
Yep.
That is the seminars themselves. Certainly our Rotary members have put this together. Yep. But we've got 19 different car companies, exhibiting 26 different vehicles.
So there's actually going to be vehicles on site for people to have a look at?
Yes, we'll have 26 different vehicles across 19 makes, and they'll be there for people to actually have a look at, to get in. We won't be able to do test drives because it's in a confined area, but people will be able to arrange test drives in the following week or two after the event, once they've actually had a look at the vehicles, because the look and feel of a vehicle is something which people are fairly passionate about. So the idea is to have an idea, give people that idea, but also to talk to the dealers, talk to the people around, and there'll be quite a few owners of electric vehicles there. Like the Tesla Owners Club, for example, is coming along, and I'll come to some of the other makes shortly. They'll be there to talk about the vehicles. But in terms of the seminars, yes, there's. I'm emceeing it because of my background as an ambassador of ITS Australia, but all the rest are experts from the industry. So we've got a guy named Bryce Gayton, who's from EV Choice Consulting and Renew, which is about vehicles, the do's and don'ts, and especially, you mentioned before, the myths. So people talk about, make sure you have the fire brigade attending, because they all catch fire, don't they?
I've heard that one.
Well, no, they don't. In fact, there's way more, like 20 times more fires with internal combustion engine vehicles, ICE vehicles, than there is in electric vehicles.
Well, some of them have got, a lot of them have got fuel, and others are highly flammable gases.
Absolutely they have, correct. Mm. And so, that's an absolute myth, which Bryce will actually explode totally. We've got Riz Akhtar, who created the magazine called The Driven, and EV Choice. He's also on the Australian Electric Vehicle Association as a director. And he will talk about the vehicle trends, what's coming, what to look for, what the sales situation's like, how we compare worldwide and all those areas.
Brian, I just got to take a quick break. I've got a sponsorship and that pop up, but we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Dream on, dream on.
I'm talking to Brian Negus, and he's part of Rotary, and they're putting on this big, well, it's a car show, all sorts of things, seminars and that, this Sunday, and it's all about electric vehicles. Brian, just before you move on, are the cars that we're getting today, or if a person buys a car this year, it's a pretty unfair question to ask you, but is this as good as they're going to get, or in 30 years' time are they going to be sort of something else completely, completely different to what they are now?
Well, Alan, I reckon in 5 years' time they'll be completely different. If we just look at what's happened in the last 5 years, we've had a dramatic increase in the number of models available.
Yep.
And in the technology and batteries, with all different sorts of electric batteries, digital batteries being produced as well. And rather than the sort of hydrogen sulfide or whatever else, lithium is being produced these days, the move in not too distant future is going to be to digital. Technology will change all the time. The fundamentals of a vehicle, it's got four wheels and places to sit and the like, is probably unlikely to change. It'll change shape, sure. Yep. The technology underneath it will change dramatically. Batteries will get smaller, but also with higher capacity and therefore longer range. And that's already happened. When electric vehicles first come out, I recall back when I was at RACV, we purchased 7 Nissan Leafs back in about sort of probably 2014-15, right. And we go into the district nurses to try them out and to see how they went in the context of an urban environment. But they only had about 100 kilometres range.
True.
And so they weren't much good district nurses. Mm-hmm. Whereas today, the lowest vehicle around probably has around about 350, and the upper level has sort of upwards of 500 kilometres in range. So, and that's all been in the last 5 years. So, yeah, dramatic change. And 30 years, who knows? But 5 years, I reckon, we'll see quite a change anyway.
Brian, you were, apart from the fact that there's going to be all these cars on show and there's a group of different cars that are going to turn up, and I don't want to run through them all because I'll leave some out. Part of your seminar is going to sort of talk about buying cars, what to look for and also how to charge them, because, that's a bit of an unknown. So if you charge them at home, obviously, are there more and more charging stations coming on all the time?
Yes, Alan, there are. And as I mentioned before the break, we've got two speakers who will specialise in what cars are available, what the trends are, what to look for, what are the do's and don'ts, what are the myths, as I mentioned before, and also what you need to be conscious of in relation to your requirements in electric vehicle. I've then got another speaker from Bosch, in fact, who's an expert in advanced driver assistance systems. Because a lot of people say to us, in my car, I've got all this stuff that happens. There's something buzzes and the wheel vibrates if I don't indicate when I'm changing lanes. And what's all that mean?
Yep.
So Xavier Vigetti's from Bosch. And Bosch, in fact, designs a lot of this stuff for their German parent. On behalf of the world in Clayton in Victoria. So that's a local producer who's heavily involved in the worldwide scene, and we'll talk about smart technology.
Yep.
To get to your point, though, about charging, we've got people from the RACV, from Jet Charge, and from Charge Fox, who are the prime providers of charging at home and on the go.
Oh, are they? Yep.
Yep, they're experts in their field. So the residential installation coordinator, Ash Harun, from Jet Charge, Rowan Smith from the RAC, product manager for commercial and home charging, and Nick Wadinski, who's head of product at ChargeFox. So, not Rotarians, taking your point before.
No, but you've got some terrific guest
experts in their field, and they can they'll run through the options for charging at home, because you can have just, plug into a normal PowerPoint, slightly upgraded to 15 amp. But also you can get high-level charging through AC, but then also DC, direct current charging, which is much faster if you want it. But at home, you probably don't need it. but also RACV in particular, and probably RIS-ACTAR as well, will talk about charging from solar. So if you want to minimise your costs, then by having solar panels, and especially a battery at home, you can actually charge for zero.
So you could actually have a solar just basically for the car, like that.
You generally have it for the house. Because in my case, for example, I've got 18 panels on the roof.
Yep.
I've got a Tesla battery, and I haven't paid electricity bills since March last year. So that's what you can achieve, and I'm putting more into the grid than I'm using. So if I had an electric car, because I haven't quite got one yet, because my current cars, my wife and I are not that old. Yep. And I got them like just before EVs really come onto the market in a really good way.
Yep.
So I'm still, you know, on the verge of. But that's the way to go. And those experts from JetCharge, from RACV and ChargeFox will talk about those options at home. But also, especially ChargeFox will talk about the rollout of charging locations across the highway network.
Ah, that's good. Yep.
Yep. Because they're getting more and more now. People say, I can't go outside the urban area and. Well, a whole lot of experts now have done trips, you know, basically from Melbourne to Sydney, Sydney to Brisbane to Adelaide. And there are apps you can get on your phone which tell you about where the charging locations are. And you can plan your trip. It's a bit like using Google Maps, only it's an app for charge stations.
Yeah.
And you can plan your trip between charging stations. So you stop off at a location where you're going to have lunch, for example, plug your car in charge. Now, there's not enough of them yet. And sometimes you get there and they're not working. Mm. But that proliferation is increasing dramatically. And back to your point about before, where's this heading in the future? Charging locations are being, you know, sort of being rolled out much, much better than they used to be.
Right.
Now, if we use Europe as an example, they've got them everywhere. You know, I've been to several Scandinavian countries, for example, and you pull up beside, you know, an urban location in a street and there's a parking meter. Next to it is a plug-in charging point.
Brian, I noticed too, I think I was down at Rosebud a few weeks ago and went to the RSL for dinner, and I see they've got two of their car park, and I don't want to mention, well, I will, but I'm not 100% sure. I think I went and saw it at a Safeway stores, like in the car park, not necessarily attached to Safeway. And Coles could have been there as well, I don't know. But I guess they're going to pop up more and more in these sorts of places too, aren't they?
Yes, they indeed are, Alan. Certainly in shopping centres, especially when they're a larger shopping centre, like a Coles or a Safeway, Woolies, and also in the major shopping complexes, you'll get them. But I know, for example, the RACV has charging stations at every one of their resorts.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Just down the road here, because I'm in Hillsville.
Yeah. Well, in fact, when I was at RACV time, I had two environmental scientists working for me, and they, in fact, rolled out the first charging stations at some of the RACV resorts. And since then, they've been installed at every resort and the city club and also Hillsville. So they're available if you want to sort of go and stay there. You've got charging points to plug into.
Yep. Brian, also, you mentioned along the highway and that. Can you see the day when, I mean, a lot of the, you don't have to be a major town to have a service station. You know, they're all over the place. Can you see the stage where there will be sort of, I don't say a little, where there's a one store and you know, the de-restriction zone and the restriction zone, the de-restriction zone are about, you know, 10 metres apart. I'm talking about decent size. Could you see when most of those towns between here and Adelaide and Sydney and all that, they'll be that frequent, there'll be that many spots?
Yes, I can, Alan. I think that is the case, and certainly in Europe and in the States as well, they're starting to install charging locations at the servos. And certainly, you know, the fuel points, that is, you know, for ICE vehicles, certainly dominate still.
Yep.
But that'll change over time as more electrical vehicles come onto the road. People will react to that, and the servos will be, you know, sort of, we'll need to do it. Obviously, you have to pay for it, as distinct from, you know, a charge at home. But you pay for fuel now. And reportedly, you know, the costs of charging, even a fast charge system, is still going to be a lot less than paying for petrol or diesel.
All right. Pardon me, I've got to take a quick break, Brian, and we'll be back and we'll talk some more. Percentage uptake of the electrical vehicles, the percentage wise, I'm not too sure what they are. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But at the rate we're swapping over to them, how does that compare to the rest of the world? Are we way behind, or are we level pegging, or how do we sit there?
Yeah, my understanding, Alan, is that we're a bit slower.
Yep.
Scandinavia, or the European countries in particular, have embraced EVs much quicker.
Yep.
And that's on the back of, for example, in London, in Paris, in Berlin, for example, they've banned diesel vehicles.
All right, yep.
And it's about their whole sustainability push. So they are much more engaged in sustainability and environmental matters than we are still, even though there's been a change in that.
Yep.
And that's led to a greater embracing of EVs.
Brian, what do you say to the people who say, oh, I travel thousands of kilometres a year? You know, that in some of these countries you're talking about, like people don't drive from here to Western Australia and from here to Queensland, whereas we do. Do you think that's holding us back?
To some degree, but reality is, my understanding percentage-wise is there's about 10% of people who do that.
Right.
The other 90% don't. The average kilometres that people drive each year is probably around 12 to 15,000.
Yep.
And a bit more depending on how much you're on the road. Back in my Vic Roads days, I was driving probably about 20,000 a year because we were covering Victoria.
Yep.
But on average, most people don't do that. And yes, people do take, the so-called grey nomads, for example, do in fact hook the caravan up and travel significant distances, and probably for the foreseeable future, until we get a good rollout of charging stations and also vehicles that are capable, we'll probably find those people will use, ICE vehicles.
Brian, you just mentioned caravans. How does an electric vehicle... What if you put a trailer on the back and load that, or you put a caravan on? Apart from the fact, A, can they do it? B, it'd drop your battery range down a bit, or two, wouldn't it?
Yes, it does. And only certain vehicles are coming onto the market now. You've probably seen there's quite a few electric larger vehicles coming onto the market, which are capable of towing caravans because they're bigger vehicle. They've got more stability. They've got a higher range, but certainly towing a caravan, like putting on the air conditioning on a hot day on an electric vehicle, will reduce the kilometres available. So you need to plan your trips accordingly if you've had that.
And again, to be honest, not everybody tows a caravan, do they?
Like I said, it's probably about 10% of the total drivers.
So now, Brian...
We shouldn't let that rule us in terms of what our uptake's going to be.
No, I agree. I'm going to challenge you on one thing. You've got a list of the different cars that are going to be there, and I believe I've read somewhere that up to 80 brands are producing electric vehicles, but I'm not sure whether that's quite true or not. I read that somewhere. But one of the lists you've got is a Ford Mustang. Now, I love the sound of V8 motor, and I've got to say to you, how could you convince somebody to buy a Ford Mustang, or is that... not the Mustang that I know?
Two points. We tried to get the Mustang, but we actually haven't been successful.
Oh, right.
So, but the electric Mustang, and there is one, the V8 petrol heads will be astonished. Yep. But it's an SUV, mate.
That's not the V8, the throb of the two doors.
It doesn't look like a Ford Mustang at all. I was a bit staggered as well. reportedly, it's a really good vehicle. It's a sort of a small to medium SUV, so a good size. That's distinct from some of the monster trucks that as I call them, that are coming out of the States at the moment. But it's not actually your typical Mustang from that point of view. But we were unsuccessful in getting it. They couldn't supply one in time for us to have it available. But we have got a Nissan X-Trail hybrid. So that's a hybrid one, and that is capable of towing a caravan.
Right.
So it's in that range. Quite a range of all the other vehicles. So just let me sort of maybe quickly through those. We've got Porsche, Mercedes, BMW, Mini, Subaru, Eastern Honda with Chery. It's C-H-E-R-Y. It's a Chinese brand.
Yep.
Peugeot, the X-Trail, as I mentioned, a Renault Megane, Toyota new BZ4X, fully electric, not a hybrid, and MG4, which is very popular currently because they dropped their price by about $10,000. It's a really good buy right now. It's about $35,000-$37,000, come down from $45,000-$47,000. So a really good buy. One of my colleagues has just bought one. We've got Polestar, we've got XPeng, which is another new Chinese brand just on the market. So we've got quite a few just on the market vehicles available for the first time. A Tesla from the Tesla Car Company of three, but the Tesla Owners Club will be there with both Tesla Ys and Tesla threes.
Brian, could I just stop you for a minute? What's the difference between the two Teslas? You've said a 3 and a Y or something. What's
the difference? The Y is like sort of in the sort of medium to larger SUV style, a very different style to an SUV because they're very sort of sculpted vehicle, but they're a larger vehicle, and the 3 is a smaller. It's about the size of a BMW 3 Series.
Oh, I've seen them on the road. Yep.
Yeah, whereas the Y is probably more like. An X5 BMW, if I can put a comparison between
size. Yep, Yep.
X3 to X5, yeah. So, yeah, they're both really good, and depending on what size you want, the 3 is the newest of those two. The Y's been around for some years now. The 3 has only been on the road in the last couple of years. And the BYD for a private owner is going to be on show as well. And the Australian Electric Vehicle Association, I mentioned before, Rizactars from that organisation, they're bringing along 3 different vehicles as well. I'm not too sure what they are, but yep. They're bringing along their own vehicles.
Just so, out of a few cars there, aren't you?
Yeah, we've got, as I said earlier, 19 different makes and 26 vehicles in total, because there's 2 or 3 from some of those, like Porsche and Mercedes and Donka and Subaru have got 2 vehicles each, and then quite a range in from Yarra Valley Motors as well.
Yep. So, which is down in Lilydale, isn't it? They're down in Lilydale, just down the road, aren't they?
Oh, they are, that's right. They're also, they're in a couple of different locations, but yeah, they're in Lilydale as well. Yeah.
Brian, I've just got to take a quick break. When I come back, I see in one of the seminars somebody's going to put out tips for buying these cars. Can you give us a couple of, when I come back, give us a couple of tips that you know of?
All the kings and queens in the Bible, they could not turn back time. So what chance have I of a miracle in this life of mine? I only want one day to unsay the things I said, undo the thing I did. 24 little hours, oh God, please wipe them all away. And I promise I will change. If I could start today again, I know I'm not the milk and honey kind. Today I proved it true. When the red mist falls around my eyes, I know not what I do. Please give me back today. And I won't say the things I said or do that thing I did. Every minute, every hour, the replay's just the same. And I can't stand the shame. Let me start today again. That's all of every day that's been before, since time began. I know my prayer's in vain, but for a second I'll pretend that I can start today again.
Brian, I see that one of the segments on Sunday, and we'll, in a minute before we go, we'll just remind people where it is and what time it is and all that. Tips for buying. So out of what the research you've done for this program or for Sunday, have you got any tips yourself if you were going out to buy a car today, what you'd be looking for in these cars?
Probably not a whole lot different to, or some of them, not a whole lot different to what you'd actually take into consideration if you were buying an ICE vehicle, internal combustion engine, yeah. In terms of, you know, how many people you've got, what the capacity is, what the size is. But importantly, with an electric vehicle, you need to think probably more clearly about the kilometres you do per week you know, per year. Mm-hmm. The range you go in terms of how far do you travel. So if you're in that area of one of the, you know, the 10% we talked about earlier, of those who travel long distances, yep. That's an issue for you in terms of being able to charge an EV if you're going to actually buy an EV and still go on those sort of trips.
Yep.
But around the urban area, it's probably less of an issue. So you need to think then about the sort of vehicle you want, you know, how big. So is it a a small SUV, you know, like I've used the BMW before, like a 1 Series BMW, or is it a 5 Series BMW or similar in other brands? And so size from that point of view. And then also, of course, battery capacity, because it varies enormously between the makes. So you've got anything from like 300 to probably 600 kilometres range in batteries.
Yep.
So that's an issue for you as well. And I suppose then, you know, the look and feel of a vehicle. And also, I suppose, your capacity to absorb technology, because pretty much all the electric vehicles have like a computer screen in them.
Oh, yep, yep.
Some still have buttons, so you can press buttons for the air conditioning and so on. But the Tesla, for example, it's all on the screen. So you need to think about that situation as well in terms of your, you know, your happiness in embracing technology and computer type operation. From that point of view, they're not all like that, but it would be an issue if you were looking at buying a car, as your ability to adjust to that situation.
That's fair.
So there's some of the issues, but in terms of safety, like a lot of people, in terms of some of the myths that we talked about before, raise the issue about fires in vehicles. And as I mentioned earlier, I did actually, because we've been doing a lot of promotion on Facebook, I've been boosting on Facebook. We've had about probably 30,000 engagements on Facebook.
Really? Yep.
Which is really, really good. So hopefully that translates into people coming on Sunday. But you get a couple of crazy comments like, hope you got the fire brigade sending. Because of all that stuff about fires in electric vehicles. So you need to think about your risk situation. But as I said before, Alan, the reality is there are 20 times more fires in ICE vehicles, electric vehicles. So, myth busted. It is not an issue.
Brian, we need to, we're fast running out of time, unfortunately, but we need to get people there. So where are they going to come to, and what's the times, please, Brian?
Right, so the gig is at the Manningham City, that's the City of Manningham Council Chamber on 699 Doncaster Road, just east of Shopping Town in Doncaster. And the EV Expo, the vehicle show, is on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the two seminars, this first one is 11 till 12:30, and that is about the buying tips, the vehicle trends, the technology in your vehicle, and those sorts of issues, and what you should look for. And that's so 11 till 12:30. The second seminar then is from 1 p.m. to 2:30, and that is all about charging. So we have RACV, Jet Charge, Charge Fox, as I mentioned, talking about charging at home and charging on the go and the rollout of charging stations. So they're the two seminars.
Yep.
And of course, people who are going to attend a seminar, you've obviously got time to go look at the vehicles in between.
Absolutely. So
before you start and after the seminar's finished. So that's why we've made it 10 till 4 for the expo, and effectively 11 a.m. to 2:30 for the seminars.
Brian, where are the seminars in relation to the cars? The cars are out in the car park?
The cars are in the major car park adjoining the council office.
Yep.
And the seminars are upstairs on the first floor in the council office. They've got a reception events area on the first floor. The seminars are in there, and we have capacity for 500 people.
Is there any cost, or would people have to register, or can they just turn up on the day?
We hope they would register. If you actually go on to Dr. Google and just type in Electric Vehicle Expo, you'll come up with the link to Rotary Manningham City.
Yep.
to the expo. And on that website, is a link to Humanitix, which is the booking site for the seminars. But whilst we'd like to have you do that, I hasten to add, it is free.
Yep.
Because this is Rotary in the community, Alan. This is Rotary providing information to the community.
Can't beat Rotary.
Indeed. So it's part of our community, and making sure that we can actually give the community good information, not biased information, good information about electric vehicles, and give them a chance to look at them, but also hear about them from experts.
I guess so, one of the
upstairs, first floor, yes.
No, I was going to say, I guess one of the things is that, that it is unbiased, because you're going to get, if you walk into any of the showrooms, I'm not ever going to go at any car salesman, is it going to be the best in the world, and everybody else is nowhere near as good as what theirs is. So, I mean, Rotary is into that, so, I mean, what you're going to hand out, or what you're going to talk about, is just genuine facts, isn't it?
Indeed. Certainly, the dealers will be there with the car, so you can get the dealer's feel as well, as with the cars, and that's fine, because that's part of engaging with the business community, so giving dealers the opportunity. But with the seminars, none of them are associated with dealers or car brands. They are all independent. And Bryce and Riz, who I mentioned before, they both actually get new vehicles, they test drive them and report what they've found independently. So they're in a position to actually talk about that from an independent point of view. So, yeah, all independent speakers, all experts in their field.
Brian, again, it's at the City of Manningham offices, and it's at?
699 Doncaster Road. Doncaster.
And the cars will be out in the car park, and your seminars will be upstairs with the
in the events area.
In the events area. That was, I couldn't think of the word.
On the first floor. And we've got, as I said, capacity for 500, and there are three big screens there, because each of the speakers will have slides, PowerPoint slides, to actually demonstrate what they're talking about.
Brian, look, thank you for your time today. I hope it's a real success. It's another thing that Rotary does out in the area. It's all about getting facts and figures out. It's not about, you're not going to sell any cars yourself, eh? Like, Rotary's not going to make any money out of this. So, in fact, it'll be costly Rotary to put it on. So you know that the people they've got, and I've seen a list of some of the speakers, and Brian's been talking about them. And, like, we're talking about people who... CEOs and things like that. We're not talking about the local mechanic, are we?
Indeed, they're all experts in their field. Fortunately, as I said before, I've been able to call in a few favours from my former lives.
Well, and they might be former friends after this too.
There you go.
Brian, look, thank you for your time again. I hope it's a real success, and I wish your Rotary Club well. How many have you got in your Rotary Club, Brian?
We've got 52 members.
Gee, that's a decent size branch, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and 10 honorary members, quite a few of whom are still engaged as well. So it's quite good. Alan, look, thanks very much for having us on.
Yep.
I hope your listeners have found that interesting. And I look forward to seeing lots of your listeners there on Sunday.
And, Brian, if the Rotary Club have anything they want to promote during next year, Give us a bit of notice, and we'll be happy to have you on and talk about that too.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Alan.
Thanks, Brian. Bye.